The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Dave.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. Some stats. I got sober on September 14th, 2009. This is my home group, and I have a sponsor, and I have the privilege and opportunity to also bring other men through the steps the way my sponsor brought me through the steps, and his sponsor brought him through the steps. And, I always say I really only have to tell one drinking story, and that's, I don't know if I remember my first, like, drink, like the first alcohol hitting my mouth, but I remember the first drunks. And I always say, if there's a doctor here, you can call me out on this, because I don't know if it's like really possible. But the way I describe it is I thought feel the alcohol go into my bloodstream. And I always point to the inside of my arms, because it was like this warmth. And, you know, that's really the only story I have to tell, because I didn't know you could feel that good. Like, it was all, from day one, it was like, wow, like, I can feel this way. And I drank that way, I still don't understand, like, a glass of wine. It baffles me. Or a beer with a game. Like, I actually wouldn't drink when my friends were having, like, a beer or two with a game, because I felt like it was a waste. It was either, like, let's go, or I don't want to, like, hurt my body with two beers. It was like the delusion, you know, the craziness. But I really thought that way. Like, that made sense to me. And, what happened for me is I just chased that. From day one, it was as much as I can, as fast as I can. And it took me lots of places, and I had all sorts of big plans, and I don't know that I had that, like, aha thing when I had that first drink, but I know that, like, I just didn't know I could feel that way, and I felt a part of, like, everything. It was just part of, like, around 13-ish, but I really got after it when I was, like, 15, 16, and I just was, like, growing up, and I finally felt like one of the guys. It was just part of all of that. And, I'll go back a little further, and I don't know, and I don't need to argue whether I was, like, born an alcoholic, or I know that I'm an alcoholic today. Like, I know that it's not going to be one beer tonight. I'm very clear, like I was on day one, that, I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession and a spiritual malady, and that this is where I have to come. And this has worked since day one, and I don't question that. But, I when I was a little kid, I remember making lists of what I had to worry about. And I realized that's not normal. It's funny, but I was in such fear, and I'd lose myself sometimes in sports. But then I'd have a moment when I'd, like, remember one of the things I was worrying about, and I'd be like, oh, but I have this and that, it's a slow process for me, but I seem to have more awareness around this. Like, I just wanted to numb the thoughts and the feelings. I really did. I just wanted to check out. And the last, a good way to end and get on recovery is, I thought, the delusion was I thought I just liked to party. Be that party guy. Now, the reality was I had a crew. I lived on the West Coast, and we didn't have a captain of the team, but I probably would have been the captain of the team, and we called ourselves Team Blackout. And I was, like, proud of that. Like, I really, like, I, you know, and it's embarrassing to like, say that today, but I really thought that was who I wanted to be, I got in some trouble. A judge suggested I check you guys out. I did. And my disease, I believe that I was spoon-fed this thing exactly the way I had to get it. I went to meetings, sat in the back. My disease, I saw everyone as a bunch of cigarette-smoking, coffee-drinking losers. You know, I wanted nothing to do with anyone in the room. I wanted to get the court card signed, get the, like, statute of limitations over with where I could end up in jail or prison if I got caught doing this thing again. And that was it. But I didn't want to drink. And I heard someone nailed it for me. Like, my bottom, I knew, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but at one point I was dating somebody, and she said to me, because we'd have nights, and she'd be like, "You're not drinking tonight." And I'd be like, yeah, of course not. And then she'd go to the bathroom, and I'd rip, like, six shots, and she'd come back, I'd be wasted. And she'd be like, I don't get it, you know, or I was sipping on a beer. That was, like, the rule. And she would ask me, and it describes this in the Big Book, she'd say, "I understand, like, once you have a drink, you're allergic or something. You're going to drink more. But why do you have that first drink?" And I had no answer for her. I had no explanation. And what happened at the end is I really wanted to stop. Like, that's what was scary. The other times I kind of, you know, I'll have a glass of champagne on my wedding night and, you know, no girlfriend. But I had, like, these like visions, and then I'll settle down, two kids in the backyard, glass of wine with dinner. And I, again, the gift that I have, the gift that I've been given is I know it's never going to be that way for me. I'm very clear on that. But, you know, the self-knowledge, I kept finding myself, like, the morning after, when I was going out not to drink, having this, like, it was almost like an out-of-body experience. I was like, how did it happen again? Like, how did that happen? I know what's going to, I had no answers for this thing. And the last night wasn't anything much worse than any other night. I was out, and, you know, it was another party. My life was kind of a party at that point. And, you know, I was with someone I who's very close to me, was helping me with try to recover from this thing. And I just, something clicked. You know, the bar had closed at this event I was at, and she looked over at me and she said, "What's the matter?" And something clicked, and I looked at her and I said, "I need help." And it was the first time I meant it. And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I need more alcohol and I need help. Like, this is going to go on forever unless I get help." And something was just different. That was that moment. You know, so many of us never make it through that door. And I'm grateful, again, that the way that I was spoon-fed this thing, you know, I got here the way I had to get here, and my first meeting was well before September 14, 2009. You know, I was coming around for a couple years, and that next morning when I limped into a room called the Mustard Seed, this, like, dingy basement, that's a very special place, and I don't want that to sound like a negative thing. I mean, it's, you know, there's some great sobriety in there, and I heard this dude share with this passion for this thing, and more passion than for anything I had in my, you know, he was like angry, you know, and I was into it. And I went up to him and I said, I you know, I need help. And he said, "Let's go, man. You know, let's do this." And, you know, we got out, I had a Big Book. I had a bunch of them. But we got out a Big Book, and, you know, we started on the inside of the front cover, and for newcomers or beginners, you know, the Big Book is our basic text, and he explained that to me, that this is a basic text. This is the recipe for the soup, you know, this is it. You know, this is how 100 men and women who were exactly like you were, how they stopped drinking and how they've passed it on. And if you want what they had, you do what they do. And, you know, it was so simple, and my sponsor reminded me today, like, life gets complicated, but the process stays the same. It's really simple. And, you know, I do the same things that I did at the beginning. You know, he told me to get two service commitments. He gave me a time to check in with him every day. We do step work. He asked me to commit to a 90 and 90. He told me to get there early, stay late, thank the speaker. You know, I try to do those things today, and that's it, you know, and certainly we've gone through the steps, and I'm running out of time, didn't even get to step one yet, but, you know, I came here, and I think it's important that, like, I came here because I didn't want to drink anymore. I couldn't, again, explain why I kept drinking when I knew what was going to happen if I picked up that first drink, and I've gotten so much more freedom, and, You know, I wanted to talk a little bit more about recovery in my life today, but hopefully I'll be here in a couple of years and have 20 more minutes. But, you know, my life is, it's a gift. I realize, you know, most people never make it through that door. And every day I wake up and, I surrender. I say the third step prayer, seventh step prayer. I call my sponsor. I keep it very simple. And, you know, for me, where the belief started, I'll get into step two, I guess, is, you know, that this thing was working. I could not drink. And it just, it's worked, you know, and 6 years later, I still haven't drank. And I'm a believer. So thank you all.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Melissa.
Thanks, Stacy. Hi, Melissa Alcoholic. Oh, so good to be up here. Sorry, Stacy. Thank you so much, Marla, for asking me to speak. And I have to thank Cynthia, just from the podium, for this awesome commitment. Assisting you this year has been, you know, just an awesome experience and a highlight. And, you know, God's timing is perfect. Like, if I say nothing else tonight, you know, that was just what I've been thinking about is, you know, God is right on time. And, you know, so if you're sitting here and, you know, you're thinking, gosh, you know, it doesn't feel good or it doesn't look good or it's not the way I thought it was going to be, you know, just keep plodding away, keep doing what we do here, which is like showing up, saying yes, helping others, doing the steps. And then, you know, all of a sudden you'll get a phone call like, you know, oh, do you want to help me next year? You know, my first instinct is always no, because, you know, I just have a different idea of like what my life is supposed to look like and what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, thank God for great sponsorship, you know, like, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And, you know, Ava, why don't you just take the commitment and we'll see what happens, you know? And that's always the right thing. So okay, I'm going to give a qualification. God, help me to be of service. So, you know, what it was like, you know, nice family, you know, all the right things on the outsides. And what I realize only now looking back is, you know, I was always uncomfortable in my own skin, you know, always a lot going on in terms of fear, you know, really never present, you know, even though all, you know, everything was going right, you know, involved in sports, you know, good in school, had all the right friends. But, you know, I never really felt right. And, you know, when I look back, actually, it's very funny, all the strange things I did in high school, but I won't get into that. But, you know, I just think, gosh, you know, all these people were calling me, you know, hey, let's go out, let's do this, let's do that, you know, and I was just so afraid, you know, that people might get a glimpse of who I really was. And, you know, so I kept people at an arm's distance. But only until I found alcohol could I really, you know, be at peace and, you know, feel a part of and look people in the eye and just, you know, have some fun, you know. And so, you know, that I was a periodic drinker as a young kid. Again, I was very busy, which, you know, helped me quite a bit. But Saturday nights, when there was alcohol available, I would just, you know, I would go all out and I would get that relief. And anyway, fast forward, I'm finally on my own in the city and I get this job and, you know, and I always tell this story, but, you know, it's my story, so I guess I should just tell it. I don't have any new material, thank God. you know, we go out, it's a training, it's the first night, and they say we're going to go to the bar and finish up our work for tomorrow's training. Oh my gosh, how great is that? We go out, you know, basically the same thing that happened that night happened to me for the next 5 years. The people that could have a few drinks and go home did. I started and I couldn't stop. You know, and the hours tick by and people are staying at my apartment and they're saying, hey, Melissa, we're going to go home and take my keys, go uptown. I'll see you when I see you. And, you know, and the night goes on. And next thing I know, it's I hear this, you know, ringing in the background. And I'm literally, like, I can remember it like it was yesterday, face down on the floor of some apartment that, you know, they work for the company, but I barely knew these people. And it's my cell phone ringing across the room. I get it, and they're like, where are you? You know, you're supposed to be here, you know, 3 hours ago. And I just, oh, okay, I'll get there, you know. So I do my usual, again, what I did for the next 5 years, which was go to the Gap, get a new outfit, go to work, and, you know, and just try my best. And I didn't, you know, I didn't get in trouble, you know, and so I said, okay, you know what, this is going to be okay. And, you know, basically the next 5 years was that way. You know, I'd go to work, I worked all the way downtown, I lived all the way uptown. My life was this small. It consisted of, you know, going to work, 5 o'clock, saying, I won't go to happy hour, I won't go to happy hour, I'll say no. Someone shows up at my desk, we're going to go to happy hour, I say yes. I walk across the street, I say I'll have 2 drinks, it's 6 in the morning, I'm sleeping at the office, I'm buying a new outfit, or maybe just a new necklace to disguise the fact that I'm wearing the same outfit. So, you know... In the beginning, you know, it was funny, and, you know, in the end, I would, you know, really bang my head against the wall and say, I don't understand. You know, I'm a good kid. I have a good family. I really just want to go home and hang out with my roommates who I've said night after night that I'm going to do that, and why can't I do this? And they're looking at me and saying, Melissa, you know, we don't know. We don't know why, but it doesn't happen. And through a series of events, people at work, this girl who I, you know, she drank like me, but not as bad, I didn't think. She really had it together, and she said, I think we might have a drinking problem. I was like, okay, you're going too far on that. But anyway, she planted that seed, and she was coming to AA, and she was telling me what you guys were saying, and so that, you know, that was helping me. And anyway, as you know, some of you know, I went to college with Amanda, and she was sober for many years at this time. So one night I'm out drinking alone, and I'm having this idea that maybe I have a problem. So I text her, you know, I think I have a problem. Of course, I immediately regret that. But, you know, she was there like a good AA the next day at the apartment. I think she was coming from an AA thing. She had like a box of Joe, which was very cliche in my opinion. But, you know, she showed up with the bagels and coffee, which was great. And she, you know, she did write what we're told to do out of the big book, which is like a perfect 12 step. And I have to tell you, I'm so grateful for that, because at that time I wanted someone to say to me, Melissa, you're an alcoholic, or Melissa, you're not an alcoholic. And I would have gone either way, but now being here, I realize I had to admit complete defeat. I had to, you know, admit to my innermost self that I had this thing. And, you know, she told me to, you know, try some controlled drinking. And, you know, I have to say again, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I got very familiar with this mental obsession that we have, you know. So I would wake up and I'd think about, where am I going to get the 2 drinks? How strong are they going to be? You know, what's going to give me the most bang for my buck? And, you know, I did that for 4 days religiously. I mean, of course, I wouldn't miss a night. Go to the bar, you know, okay. And I'd have, you know, my buddies who were trying to help me, you know, my roommates who were like, you're so crazy, you know, but we love you, you know. And anyway, after the 4th night, that was it. I was off to the races. You know, there wasn't enough alcohol in the world. And I did that for a period of time, but kept in touch with Amanda, and she said, okay, here's the big book. Start reading stories out of the back. Okay, so I did that. I had a lot of identification. Okay, come to the Tuesday night meeting. And that was a gift, you know, because I came here and I saw you guys, and I said, whoa, like, you know, they're looking good, you know, they're looking happy, you know, okay, you know, maybe this won't be so bad, you know. And actually coming here, drinking 6 other days of the week, but staying sober for Tuesday, sitting here, and then hanging outside after the meeting, I met my first sponsor, you know, who said to me, you're going to come out to fellowship. Oh, yeah, you know, you're just taking the poo-poo platter. I was like, oh, who is that lady, you know? You know, but fast forward, you know, a few weeks later when I was ready to stop, I said, you know, who was that woman that I met? And that turned out to be my first sponsor. And, you know, and it just started from there. And what a gift. Oh, my sober date's January 22nd, 2007. My sponsor's Ava, and I have the privilege of sponsoring others, which has been such a gift. And, you know, we met every Tuesday in the balcony, and we, you know, we started on the first page of the book, and we, you know, went through the steps, and, you know, the third step was, you know, do you believe that there's something, I remember looking up, you know, down here, do you believe that something is working for these people in this room? You know, yes, I could definitely get on board with that. I could definitely see that there's something here that's working for you guys, and, you know, fourth and fifth step, and, you know, just do it, you know, what freedom, and six and seven, you know, and the ninth step amends. I mean, you know, just relationships changed, you know, in an instant, really, in some cases. You know, some through persistent patience and showing up and opposite action, but really some, you know, in that moment, you know, change forever, which has been completely incredible. And again, just the opportunity to help others, you know, has been a gift, and the service and this home group and, you know, all the joys, and God's plan and not mine has been, you know, just the best thing. So thank you so much.